Hey, Chris, don't forget to capture the video.
Now, do I have to do anything? Should I get something from, like, you know what? I'll do something. You know what? I'm going to do some of this, what I'm doing right now. I realize my daughter got an iPod. Sorry. Santa brought her an iPod this year. And it's been kind of fascinating watching her. I haven't posted in a while, but I was hashtagging Kid Digital. And just sort of some of the questions that she has popping off about the use of the iPod. So I have a little tripod that I've used in the past, and she borrowed it because she said she wanted to make, she's using iMovie with her brother, and they're doing all these little ridiculous trailers and movies. But I realized I should bring it back down here to the basement, because as I'm about to capture some video of something that I'm going to do, it would be better if I could just put it over the thing that I'm doing. That's my first thought. Second thought was that in the vein of Kid Digital, I got a new phone this week. And so it's good stuff. Still sort of like getting used to the size and the girth of it. So I went from an iPhone 6 to an 8 Plus. The reasonable, like the chunk of change I had to pay up front was manageable. I was able to keep my plan, which was great. Actually, the plan became cheaper. Like, when does that happen? It has to do is because it's through our school board, so something happened there. But as I'm setting up the phone, and we've all gone through this at least one or two times where you're backing it up to your computer and then flipping the SIM card and all that sort of that dance of going from one piece of tech to the next piece of tech. My daughter's in and out of the kitchen, and she's looking at me and she's like, "What's that in your hand?" And I'm like, "Well, that's my new phone," which I don't think up to that point had occurred to her about the process of Digitech, that there's, well, you can choose your word, updating or upgrading, however you wanna, or upsizing, that's what it is, right? It's like going for the bigger size McDonald's fries. So she's looking at it, and then she's looking down at the table at my six there. She's like, "So what are you gonna do with the six?" Now, right away, my brain is I'm calculating her calculations, which is always great to do with your kids. And I love where I'm surprised when I'm not in the right set of calculations. She's not thinking what I'm thinking. And I try not to get myself in too much of a mind trap in assuming where my kids are going to go with their thoughts. But I think that's a dad thing. That's a parent thing, right? It's like you're trying to deep them out at every turn when they're starting some train of thought. So she's like, "What are you going to do with that?" And I was like, "I haven't decided yet. I'm not sure." She's like, "Well, you know what you could do?" And then, you know, it's like, pause. So, you know, you could keep that so that when, because, so again, I've used the language, I upgraded my phone. She says, "So, you know, when I upgrade from my iPod, I could use that phone and Jacob could use my iPod." I'm like, "Yeah, that's an interesting idea." I said, "I was thinking that." I said, "Or I was thinking I might try and sell it." And she just does this. Stares me down. And she's like,
"You're one of those dads."
Yeah, she said, "Yeah, you could do that too." And then she just left the room. So back to my point in my point at the start of this story, besides the fact it's fascinating to be present and pay attention to your kids' digital path, like actually finding the roots, like I'm in the roots of both my children's digital path right now. And entirely consumed with thinking about how they're going to use their digital tools, which just comes back to case in point, me having something here on my actual page. Yeah, I'll do a little video of it as I'm actually doing it. Because as you mentioned in the on-ramp, this is the way that we do Decoded. It's layered. It can start at 7 a.m. It started at 7:15 a.m. It's been on a Friday night. It's been in the summertime. It moves. It moves to be where we need it. And it changes to be what we need it to be.
And it moves like not only based on our lives, but our family's life. So as we talk about our kids and the things they do and when they do them, decoded shift sometimes because of that.
It has to. It has to. And you know what's what you make me think about is that there was a time where I really had to let go of the selfishness that comes with kind of going deep into my reflective practice. And I think one of the first conversations you and I had, and this goes all the way back, I love this, this goes all the way back to the genesis of our friendship, was you and I, and this is maybe what kind of bound us together, was you and I talking about the affair. We haven't talked about that in a while. And that whole idea about sneaking away to do something that you really love to do. And I think we used it in the context of going to that EdCan network meeting, how it was kind of like at the time, I would say definitely my spouse, Karen, and my colleagues didn't have a concept of where my interests were sort of like wavering from the path. That's sort of like that little bit of a linear path of learning and professional development that it only happens in your school board. I was starting to dip my toe in this idea that there's a whole lot of cool learning that exists away from my school board. And I think you and I hit on something about the idea of the affair and that you're sort of going off to kind of do something. Maybe your significant others are kind of aware of it. Maybe they're not. They just kind of let you alone. And I think a part of that, when you're just kind of let to be in your reflective practice, when I'm just let to be in my reflective practice, I tend to become really kind of selfish about it. Like I want it to be in a certain time, in a certain way, in a certain, like you get, it's almost like how it becomes like Starbucks. Like you can walk in and say, how many little customizations do you get on your coffee? This common thing that everybody has, but you're going to tweak it to the nth degree so it feels like it's yours. That's what my PD feels like now. But I think the trade-off is that that can also isolate you if you go too far. And if I tether it back to something concrete, that's what I dig about having to include you in my reflective practice. Because no matter how personalized or how sort of like narrow scope or niche it becomes, I feel anchored to come back to a conversation where I have to kind of open it up a little bit and say, here's what I've been thinking. What are your thoughts on this?
You've got me thinking about a couple of things around PD, where it happens, how it happens, how we think it needs to happen. I too, like you, like to have a certain time and a place to, like, I like that. I like to be able to nail down when and where something's going to happen. But now I feel like with technology and the availability of the internet all over the place, I find like now the only space I need is the space up here in my head, because like, I'll give you a great example. As you were talking about your end and your PD, I was thinking about how I'm selfishly, I've got this Facebook Messenger thread going with Jonathan So, and it's totally wrapped around my PD. And you know, I've thought about taking it and moving it to Google Docs or to email, but I'm at the end of all that, I'm like, nope, this is where this lives. It lives here for a reason. I go to it for a reason. And so I'm going to leave it there. And literally, like, that part of my mind, when it clicks on and I want to deal with the topic that lives there, I just go to Messenger and I just hit him up to the point where I've told him, because he's really good at responding and responding relatively quick. I've told him, I don't even need you to respond. It's just, that's where that string of learning or development that I have going lives there with him. And so I told him, I'm like, dude, you don't even have to respond. I'm just, this is where my learning is going to happen. And you're tied into it. So I'm just letting you know that every now and again, you might get a weird, because the third or fourth time I did it, it's funny because I just dropped content. Like I literally took it from my head and boom, I put it there and hit send. And then he responded, with like a really, he's like, I didn't know if you wanted me to respond to this. I don't know, didn't know if you want me to research something, because it literally just, it opened up in my lap and it made, I had no context for the content.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I said to him, beautiful. And I think he laughed out loud because he's like, what do you mean beautiful? I'm like, that's part of this messy learning that I'm in the middle of doing part time, that sometimes I'm just going to drop a chunk of something on you and it's going to make no sense to you at all. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, are you good with that? He said, I'm good with that. And then that's it. It's over. We just roll with it now. Also, the other night when my son went skiing, I brought the laptop and I was going to engage in some work, which I'm pretty proud of the fact that I actually did the work that I said I was going to do. But it was funny because it's one of those things where I didn't need, there was no way I was going to find a quiet corner. So if my formula required silent time, that wasn't going to exist in that environment. And I wasn't leaving the environment, but I still had the work to do. And so I'll even tell you how far I took it, which I found somewhat amusing. I get upstairs to the chalet, and I had decided I wasn't going to the restaurant that night. Usually I'll find a space in the restaurant. I will get like a full meal and drink as I work. It's cool, it's fun. But I was like, no, I'm not doing that today. So I'm looking around, and all the tables are taken in the general population area. And now there's no table. So I need to look for a spot. I need to find a spot where I can walk up and say to whoever's sitting there, do you mind if I sit here? And I'm banking on the fact that they say yes. So I'm looking, boom. I hit a table that's loaded with food and drink, but there's nobody at the table. But there's a spot. Like there's like six spaces and five of them look occupied and there's one where there's nothing there. So I look around, you know, I'm looking like, who does this table belong to? Nobody. So I go and I sit down and I kind of move. The plates have like remnants of food on them. The drinks are full. They're bottles, right? They're pop bottles. They're full and there's a toque. Somebody left their toque. So I just put my laptop down, crack it open. I've got enough room for my mouse and stuff, and I start working. And I take a picture, and I put it on Facebook. I don't know if you saw it, but I said, basically, yep. I'm at the hill. I need a place to sit. Nobody's at this table. So it's like, this is my piece of real estate now. And I was there for a good hour and 15 minutes, and I was working away. And then my buddy... he messaged me and said, I'm going to be there to pick up my daughter. I'll come up and say hi. And I'm like, okay. What happened after about an hour and 10 minutes, there was a table in front of me that cleared. So I picked up my stuff and I moved to the table that cleared. Then my buddy comes in. And as my buddy sits down, we start talking. The dudes that occupied the table that I was at for an hour and 15 minutes come. And then we laugh, and the first thing I say to my buddy is, I wonder what they would have thought or said if they saw me sitting at their table. Because they were like mid-teenage years. You could hear the attitude in their voice. You could see the swagger in their walk. It would have been epic for them to walk up and be like, yo, what are you doing here? Maybe they would have said nothing. They would have just sat down and done their thing. I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't really care. I wasn't touching their stuff. It was a free seat. There was nothing there. I didn't have to like move somebody's food out of the way. So like I would have been good with that. Interesting experiment that didn't end up happening. But back to PD, I was able to do my work with like a zillion people around me, talking, yelling, screaming, eating, whatever. And I just focused in on my work. I put my earbuds in so I could listen to music at the same time. And sometimes that's what PD looks like, or that's what, like, when you have to get in the zone, doesn't matter where you are, you just do it.
I thought your story was good because I saw the posts, and that's what my brain, it's what I wanted the plot of the story. I wanted it to end there with actually you selfie with the crew that showed up for the table. I was sort of mapping that out.
Sorry to disappoint.
No, dude, it's I'm good. I'm good with the end. But you did have me thinking when I was watching that about the controls that we self-impose in order to sort of get our learning done. And you've posted a few tidbits from your PD on the road kind of learning. It's in some ways, you know what, it takes me back to the episode where I was at the EdTech summit and just plunked down in the hallway and we did a decoded right there and took into account the fact that there were people wandering around and, you know, we had our one guest kind of jump in, and it was just that I could have easily gone to it. Like I probably could have walked into a classroom and did a little bit. And it's funny, what you got me thinking about is that I've mentioned to you that there's a couple of videos that I'd like to post. I have sort of things on the table right now that I haven't completed. And part of my learning is me drawing things. Part of me learning is going to events. Part of me learning is capturing some of the video and audio things. This is kind of becoming my digital portfolio. I think my weakest or my least go-to one is doing the video, though I enjoy doing it. And I think part of it is that I haven't found my bravery to be able to just walk down the hallway and capture it. And that's in a previous iteration of my process. I would actually, between classrooms, I would have in my earbuds and I would be capturing audio, my thoughts as I'm walking from one class to another. Because it seems like in the history of me being a teacher, I've always had a classroom that's really far from another classroom. Like my transitions, I can stay in one room the whole day. Another episode, but a really incredibly problematic way to teach, but also a very invigorating way to teach. And maybe we can come back to teaching and essentialism somewhere near the end of the cast today. But that idea of having to pack up and move to your next classroom, then set up and get rolling is very much in tune with how I like to do my reflective practice, right? Drop in, grab it, record it, create it, pack it up, move on. These sort of like little camping moments in professional development. But where I haven't found yet is my bravery to get to capturing video as I'm walking down the hall. And it wouldn't be like of the kids or whatever. I've done it in the past, walking and capturing video. That was one of the things I did at the beginning of when I started working with the students on expulsion and suspension. I'd be walking home from work and I would drop a video and kind of get my thoughts out that way. But I haven't figured out a way where I feel comfortable doing that in the actual school halls. And I probably should.
Well, along those lines, all my recording's been in my classroom. I'm not comfortable walking up and down the halls talking just because, well, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, I feel like I'm going to capture kids who might be in the hall that I don't want to capture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a minefield, and I don't know about you, but
I think more so your context than mine. Because I mean, I've gone to do the pickup. I've been in the halls at busy times at my kid's school, and
I don't know who has permission.
Yeah.
To have their face exposed and stuff like. I just hunker down and do my reflection in my room.
Let alone all the sort of movement under your feet. I mean, that was the one thing that I really had to kind of lock down, is walking on the sidewalk and paying attention every once in a while to the camera and then looking up to see if anyone was actually walking at me. So I didn't go like head first right into them.
I'm not really sure where you want to go next in terms of, I had some ideas.
Do it.
We Okay. Well, I was just going to ask you about a tweet I saw yesterday from Andrew Campbell about the current state of happenings in Ontario education and with the government. And, educational leaders on Twitter who have remained silent as the government continuously pokes at different areas around learning. And, so far I'd say that the changes they'd like to make appear to be negative ones to the people that live within EDU. And so I just wanted to get your thought on that because I thought of two things. Number one, I get people not wanting to speak their mind completely truthfully and open on social media around topics like that. I get that. But I also get that you got these people who are selling books or doing keynotes or doing workshops that have a lot of influence over educators. They've got educators following their every move with respect to, the knowledge that they're putting out around the work that they've done and how it can benefit students and teacher learning. And they just continue to pad their brand in the space of Ontario EDU and not ever go down the road of, advocating for a particular position or reaching out to the people who may be affected by the changes that the government wants to make. And I won't name any names because I don't, there's one person in particular who chimed into the conversation. And he said, and I respect him for what he said, but I also respect him for the, I have a relationship with him. Like, I kind of know him. So I know what type of dude he is. And I consider him like a good guy and solid in terms of sharing his knowledge around EDU and how to make it better and how to help kids. And he said, like, he's in a position where he really can't speak because if he does, there could be repercussions. And the fact that he just said it, and I'm like, that's cool. It'd be interesting if someone selling a book said, I know what's happening in the Ontario EDU landscape, but people, I'm not going there. I'm focusing on my book because that's what's important to me. And I feel like I could really get myself into some kind of situation if I start digging in this corner over here. Anyway, that's my position.
Well, so a couple things. I actually don't have an issue with people not coming out of their corners. I think it's too complex. I appreciate Campbell's tweet because I like the I mean the image was just kind of effective, like there's this sort of reference of somebody kept on playing their fiddle or their violin while Rome burned to the ground. Like, I think that's that concept. Like, you just kept on doing your thing while everything is just crashing down around you. And the actual gif, is of a cartoon character sipping a cup of coffee inside of a room that's completely encased in flame. I think for me is that I'm very cautious. I find like I don't have sort of like a firm ice floe to stand on because in some ways, in my heart, nobody's on Twitter. And then everybody's on Twitter. And then you sort of come across a sort of like a call to action in a social media space. And immediately my brain goes, it's the sort of the antithesis of that, drinking a cup of coffee while everything is on fire. It's kind of the mindset of, I'll go back to something that Roy and Lee mentioned when I talked to him. And he had said that when he first started social media, he always felt like he was arriving at a party that was already going on. Like, he was arriving into this really dynamic and energized space. And I think that's really subjective in a lot of ways. I think you can exist online for a long time and never feel like you're in the party. And then you can have maybe the luxury or the privilege of grabbing that proper hashtag or that one person that seems to kind of rally people's thoughts. But that's still from the population that's there. I don't see necessarily really true cross-pollination between Insta, Facebook, Twitter. They're kind of three different silos. Or, I mean, you can include other spaces, Slack. Who else is even out there right now? I don't know. Other spaces where you could be having these professional, personal conversations. I guess some people could use like Tumblr. They could use like these more kind of bloggy things. But there isn't, in my measure, cross-pollination there. So you almost have, if you don't have completely separate factions of people in all these spaces, then you have different slices of people in multiple spaces. As in, when I'm on Facebook, that's just for me to sort of like share cat GIFs. And when I'm on Insta, well, that's only my food pictures. And then on Twitter, that's where I'm doing my professional learning. So even if we were to say that the thought leaders should be activating more, my question back is, if I were to ask, where are they? I would be saying, you know, when and how are they? Because they could be on Insta. Like, they're not in this space where this message is going out. So I kind of start at that spot when I think about someone kind of being called out to speak up. If I do it from the power position, that I think, if I sort of analyze this through the lens of the power position, as in someone has managed to attain X number of followers, I get into a really kind of difficult mindset there, because one, I don't believe that followers equals, I'm not going to use the right word here. I think followers is a flawed metric. I think you can have followers that click with you for a single word or because someone tells them to. Like, I don't see it as a true measure of influence necessarily. Yet I think we really want it to be. Like, I think we really want to say, because that's one of the ways that we look to see, I think, who are we going to follow? Like, who else is kind of on this bandwagon? I do believe people do that. And the last part on this is, I don't really have an issue with someone not speaking out from their brand. I don't. Though I get how we would want. I think it's probably because I don't hold them to any sort of superhero accountability. Like, I don't think to myself, because you've got, you know, 100K followers and you've dropped 50K tweets, that there's necessarily anything of deep value there. That conversation, that's my assumption. It's not that I wouldn't pursue and look. I don't fall into those assumptions. And Andrew, I'm not suggesting that you have any of these assumptions either. One of the spaces that I find fascinating in this is if we're talking about political action, how do we aggregate the separate spaces so we have a truer sense of who is activating? Because what I find with the call out to specific individuals that seem to have a high level of connectivity, I don't necessarily think that those are the people that should be speaking out. I don't believe necessarily they should. What I want to see is, across platforms, how are people becoming politically active? And then the second layer is, it always for me has to come back to an IRL experience. Are we mobilizing? And in that conversation last night, Muna Kadri, I love chatting with Muna. She's got some deep stock in not only political thinking, she's been connected with union work, and just a solid thinker. Enjoy having her pushback and her thoughts on things. Yeah, I've dropped into that conversation. Are we officially in a space now where mobilization has to include a deep understanding, not only of social media threads and online presence, but also in real life activity? Like, that's the kind of cloud for this. Without even getting into any of the issues that Andrew pointed out, which is like, I would agree, that is the forest. Those are the trees in the forest. Actually, it's probably the forest and people aren't seeing the trees. I wrestle with when something like that is kind of posted out, and I wonder to myself, am I being, so here's a counterpoint. Am I one of those people that should be speaking out? am I a person that has influence but not followers? Because I would say there's other people that have followers and no influence. So what about the individuals that are in these small niche spaces that people are willing to talk to? So for example, should I be pursuing a more political agenda with Chasing Squirrels? Should we be pursuing a more political agenda with Decoded? And the reason I mentioned that is because of the the deferment that you mentioned in that conversation where someone mentioned something in the feed and you said, well, I don't think that particular person or you are the person that Andrew's sort of referring to in this framework. Do you ever think about that for us in Decoded? Should we pursue more politics?
I think with Decoded, if it comes up, we go down that road. Like, okay. I'm good. What I'm saying is I'm good with that. So like today, I put it on the plate.
Yeah,
we're talking about it. I don't know what your feelings are. And since this podcast is a two-man show, It's important that I get your perspective, right? Or
do you think we avoid it? Or it's just, it doesn't pop up on our, like it doesn't pop up in the flow?
I don't think we avoid it. I think sometimes we have more pressing things we want to talk about. Like I would much rather talk about Hulk Smash EDU and the awesomeness that's happening in my classroom. So I guess I'm pushing my book. I'd rather push my book than talk about politics. But I'm all for the politics. I don't mind at all. I feel like if I'm invested in the work that I'm doing and I have kids in the Ontario education system, Then I have a right to speak. I have a right to talk about, you know, what I feel is good, what I feel is not good, because it's going to affect my kids at school, but it also affects me as an employee, someone who has to do the work. I don't mind going political. I just don't. I think it's one of the great things about where we live that we can actually talk. We can talk about these things and not fear too much about what's going to happen to us. Mind you, I will say that it's important for me to be professional and for me to be like careful, if that's the right word, because I am employed as an educator. And so I don't want to cause problems for me, like around my work. But I don't think anything you and I talk about is going down that road. I think we're talking about what's happening. We're talking about what we do in the classroom and how it impacts what we do. I don't know. I'm okay with it. I think it also depends on the person I'm talking to. Like, I know you're not going to try to like sandbag me or anything. So I'm good to talk to you about it. But other people I might not want to have this discussion with is because I don't know them and I don't know what their motive is. You know,
As I'm thinking about the post of the sort of like the bedroom, the building burning and the coffee, I'm curious as to whether or not anyone has the perception of me online that somehow I should be speaking out more. I'm genuinely curious about that. Cause I think that there are times where I am that guy sipping the cup of coffee and stuff is going on around me. And sometimes I'm choosing not to address it. Sometimes I don't notice it necessarily in the same way that someone observing the space might. Sometimes I might have fear to sort of like do it. Like, I think I have some of those human spots in it, but I had this thought, and I think it popped out of you tagged me, you bumped me on Twitter that there's, you know, a couple times people that you thought, you know, you should chat with this person on squirrels. And that's really provocative to me because I think it creeps into, I take it as this would be a good conversation, Clough, but I take it as a personal challenge as to how would I go about that conversation? Like, do I have to have a method to approach it? Because I would say that the things that, probably because I'm not very centered in what Squirrels is, apart from exploring stories of EDU, and it's a real sort of open sandbox. And I like to see how people enact change or deal with change, right? So, you know, you've sent me a few links to people that I'm aware of, and I go through a real I go with through a deep dialogue of myself. It's like how do I approach this? Because it almost feels like I would have to dig into a more journalistic style. Like, I do some research when I have conversations with people, but I really just try and deal with what's in front of me and sort of flow through it and ask questions that pique me. I mean, I have some backstory of something that somebody might have posted, or I know of an activity that they've done. But you've challenged me a few times that I actually don't know how to approach that conversation. It puts me back into, you put me back into a beginner's mindset in some ways when I was starting Squirrels and I had to write out, you know, I have 40 or 50 questions that I think should be asked in a podcast. And very few of them actually start with what research do I have to know about the topic ahead of time? So me sitting having my cup of coffee as Rome burns around me sometimes is, I don't know if I have the time to do the research to give this the time that I think it should. So I keep sipping my coffee. But I would be curious if anybody feels like I am one of those people that should be addressing some of these things, because their perception of me is somehow I have some sway, like I have some connectivity with people that would maybe make change. So it's sort of like either I'm making change or I have the ear of some people that could make change, and there's some influence there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I appreciate your position, and it was nice to hear you talk about your thoughts about me sending names your way for Squirrels. That's interesting, because I was just like, as I'm reading this person's tweets and kind of getting a flavor for how they operate online on Twitter, I thought, hey, this might be, it might be cool to hear this person on Squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
I see your podcast as like an open space for conversation, and because of the name and because of the whole squirrely thing that I think of in my head.
Plus, I think us knowing each other, there's a camaraderie there. And I'm going to also say, even though you provoke with these shares, I think there's a trust there too. I don't feel like you're baiting me into sort of like I do feel that you are baiting me into wanting to hear a conversation that you're genuinely interested in. So despite my like, geez, I don't know how exactly I would approach this, my list is still there of the three or four people that you said, hey, this would be kind of a cool Squirrels conversation. And I do appreciate it. But yeah, you and I we've never formally kind of spoken directly to this.
Well, I guess we're doing it now.
There we go.
So like, okay, so in a way it's because I don't do podcasts anymore where I talk to people about what they do and why they do it. It's like, it's a selfish way of trying to hear this other person's story,
mm-hmm.
someone else's method. So, I mean, you
that's
know,
an interesting way to phrase it. I like that. I like that.
And I think of you first because I talk to you often. I like the way you, I like the way Squirrels rolls, even though you haven't published a cat, like you've had some Swiss cheese going on. I still think of you, but maybe after talking to you and hearing your position, maybe I need to open up my mind to the other people I know who cast and throw people their way. Like, Sarah, D-Rod, even Steven. Like, Steven will turn it into a radio show.
Yeah, you know? True.
So, maybe that's what I should do, because I feel like I'd like to hear more about some of the things that these people are talking about. And like I said, because I don't do it anymore, it'd be great if the people around me who still interview people, talk to people on their podcast, might consider engaging in a dialogue with certain people and having them come on their show. I don't know.
Can I throw another thing? I'm also... like I take it, it's complimentary to me as well, because despite the fact that I'm a little, sometimes I get a little freaked at the suggestion, I think to myself, wow, he thinks I can have that conversation. Like I can actually manage that conversation. Cause there are still, it's, I think there's when, those layers of bravery when it comes to producing digital content and sharing digital content and kind of putting yourself out there, there's still a little bit of like beginner's mind, because beginner's mind, imposter syndrome, whatever, like who am I to have that conversation? Like, so you mentioned the most person, recent person that you suggested to have the combo. I was like, like I've had a few, you kind of get a little breath and I'm like, yeah, I've had a couple interactions with that individual. I don't know. And then what's funny is that I think to myself, just use your process, do what you do. Drop a message, say, can we have a conversation? Here's the thing, find a path, find a common ground, allow the person to sort of share their perspective, share yours. Like there is a method to this, but what I like about this particular element of my reflective practice is that it you can sort of get back to the thrills and chills element of it in the beginner's mind of not really knowing that there's something interesting you want to talk about, but not really knowing how to unpack it. Because every single person that you've suggested, I thought to myself, I totally would love to kind of get deeper in my own head and deeper into their head, but I haven't found the bravery to action it. I'll say it flat out. I haven't found the bravery. And yet there's other individuals that I'll just cold connect with. Like I'm sort of doing it. On one hand, I'm doing it. And then on another hand, I'm not. And I'm not quite sure what it is, what the difference is. Excuse me. But I take it as a compliment. If you're thinking like, Clough, you could do this conversation. Because I don't always believe that about myself.
That's the interesting thing about perspective and understanding who you are, who you think you might be. Because like, as I hear you talk, I think about my relationship with you and how I know you. And what I know about you is that you're open and you're constantly seeking new understanding and you're constantly seeking disruption within your own thinking. At least that's how I know you. And so I think you could have any of these conversations. When I consider, like when I see something and I think, oh, this would be a good conversation and I throw it your way, it's the bottom line is I think that you're open enough to human like interaction that you're willing. I've seen you go in a lot of different directions. And
I'm a squirrel.
There you go, right?
That's what it comes down to, yeah.
And I think it would continue to build your capacity as a podcaster, as a person talking to other people, mm-hmm. to engage in some of these conversations. I just think your recorded content would show that you are willing to talk about a variety of things. Like when you talk, and this is perfect segue, because I wanted to throw in Brad Schreffler's name. I also think of Schreff, like I think he could have these conversations as well, because I feel he's quite open and he can be outspoken. When you and him talked about guns in America and the connection to EDU, I'm still like, when I talk about that, I still feel something inside that's like really strong.
I haven't gotten back to that. And that's one that comes to mind, that there were a lot of things were kind of just right to sort of have that conversation. And that is one that comes, that conversation. And that was a year or so ago. And I think when I think back on some of the conversations that I, the style of conversation that I haven't had since, I use that as a model. I do. And I still, in some ways, that's a real outlier in the podcasts that I've had so far. I've gotten close to some of it. Conversation that I had with Pam Agua, which was sort of anchored in FNMI issues and her sort of perception of self and as a mother and as an educator. Conversation with Michelle Cassidy, the former mental health lead in our school board. So I've crept up to it, but it comes back to that idea of this space, my digital space, as being, can you be reflective and journalistic at the same time?
Do you have to be?
Well, think. Do you have a sense with Chidiac Connects? Okay, you're one of your alter egos. Did you have a sense of when you were talking with some of the individuals, when you were pursuing an idea or a line of questioning versus being present and just going with the flow? Because I would say the pursuing of a line of questioning is slightly more journalistic in that spectrum. And going with the flow when you're just dealing with what's brought to you is a little bit more reflective, like you're allowing the individual to influence you. You're not going to go back to your format or your list of questions.
I think I always had a list of questions because I wanted to be ready to go in different directions if I needed to.
Right.
But I think I did a pretty good job of letting it go where it needed to go. And so I would always say to the person I was going to talk to before we hit record is, these are like the two or three things that I'm definitely going to talk to you about. Like at the end, I always used to say, I used to ask the same question at the end about motivation and inspiration. Like, what would you say to someone who came to you and said, I'm not feeling it. What do I do? I always threw that in. I can't remember an episode where I didn't do that at the end.
Right. But
from the beginning to that point, it was fairly open. Like I would lead with a question, but then they might take it in a completely different direction. And then I was literally, as they were talking, I would write down what I was thinking in terms of, okay, they're not talking about such and such. They're talking about this now. What would I like to know more about what they're saying right now?
Mm-hmm.
And so it'd be really cool because I would have questions that I would have written down before we started, but then you see a whole set of new questions that organically appeared based on what we were talking about. And so is it possible? I think you could switch back and forth. I know it depends really on your style. Like if you go into a podcast interview or conversation wanting one thing from it, and the person you're talking to is, I'm going to use the word hostile, but I don't mean it in the way that it's defined, but that they're just not going where you're taking them. And you and I have had those conversations. I've done podcasts where I've said to you after, oh man, this stunk. And then you'll hear and you'll be like, what's wrong with it? And I'm like, the vibe that I was getting in the middle of it, I wasn't feeling it. And I think the person I was talking to wasn't feeling it either. And so there were those moments, but I think it depends on who you are. I personally think, again, I'm saying this again, somebody like you or Shref or D-Rod or Hurley can go with the flow. I don't think you guys are so anal that you're going to stick to like, we're going to do this. Because you can't do that with some of these topics.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the people I've been hitting you up with lately. And it's around race. It's around race. It's around education. It's around white privilege. And I think you, the people I just mentioned, I think you guys are open enough to having that conversation. Also brave enough to push back if you need to, but still respectful to allow the person you're conversing with to speak and to bring their truth to light.
Yeah. I think this is where, and I'm going to circle back to Campbell and his comments, where I take it is that we have platforms that we explore and we talk and we highlight. But is there an element, and it's not an always, but even as a sometimes, do we need to agitate more? Is there still space between the line where we get fired and where our ideas kind of just sort of like go into soft focus? One of the things that you know, Muna posed back to the conversation was that in her interactions with other teachers is that she's encouraging them to keep sharing the best of themselves. So it was a little bit loose in the statement. I took that to mean, you know, what they're doing in their classrooms, what they're doing in their communities, you know, their maybe their thoughts and their ideas. And my question was, is sharing the best the political action that we're talking about right now? Is that what? And I don't know if Andrew responded to it, and there were a couple other people in the mix. But I get the sense, for me, my response is it's not the political action that we're talking about right now. Sharing best practice falls closer to staying on brand than, you know, speaking your mind. And I just, it's an, and again, I'll take it back, I'll make it personal, is that I don't know if I, this is kind of, I don't intentionally build a brand with any of my digital spaces. Comically, apologies, I don't know. I introduced a new product in that tweet yesterday. Did you notice the bag of work, smart bag?
I was laughing because I saw the list of Beardo is what caused
it. What did you, I don't intentionally build a brand except when I'm intentionally building a brand, like just kind of like we're building a brand, right? You too can build a brand even if you don't want to. So I think that, you know, is demonstrating the best of. I hear share the best of us. I think Pinterest board. My mind goes there. I think Pinterest board, and I've got nothing, no issue with Pinterest board politics. But if that's what we're talking about to counter what the current political EDU state is, I don't think that's, it's a little bit like assuming that everyone that we need to talk to is all on Twitter. And again, that's the crowd of conversation. That's the crowdsource. But building capacity within crowdsource is not the same as agitating the people that are sort of holding the conversation in a certain frame, which in this case is the PC party in Ontario. So at some point, the only way that those things really come together, I'll come back to, is in real life. So action, some sort of political action or political activity. And I don't know if just expressing the coolness of what's going on in our classrooms is enough. I don't know.
I appreciate you going down that road with me. I want to shift because I want to talk about when you called me and Andrew Campbell beardos, along the weirdo line. So I want to talk there for a second.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. I said something to, I responded to something he tweeted, and then maybe he said something about, I said people who have beards aren't weirdos, and then you called us beardos.
Yeah. I think what he was doing, he was calling you out as being strange for some conversation that I think he threw a little comedy his way about one of his statements, and he's sharp. Yeah. And he sort of, you know, kind of called you out in a way to say like, well, yeah, that's what someone with a beard would say or something like that. I was trying to have camaraderie with you there because I'm back to growing it again. Right. I'm like, I'm happy being a beardo. And then you threw back in what?
I don't remember. I don't have an issue with it.
Oh no, dude, you threw down with the EDU beardos.
Oh, that's what I did.
Yeah. Let's start promoting this hashtag EDU beardos.
So who's on the list? It's me, you, Campbell, Oldridge.
Is Campbell still rocking the beard right now?
I think he's got a baby beard.
I'm going to,
as in like light.
Okay. Light. Well, intentionally. So he's rocking the shadow as opposed to
I think he's doing the what's hip right now is to have something on the face but to not like be known as the beard, you know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna do his Insta feed.
You gotta get him up on that one. Gotta tell him we just That's did awesome. This but
I love that you said baby beard.
Yeah, baby beard.
Baby beard. That's awesome.
How did you take it is what I want to know.
Him saying somehow that bearded people are a little bit strange, or
no, when I refer to his beard as the baby beard.
Oh, how did I take it?
Yeah. Like what did you, what, how do you, what
it hit me in a couple different ways. I thought of like your beard game is weak. That's what you're sort of calling out as qualitatively. It's like it's a level one beard.
Wow. Are you doing that to Andrew?
Oh yes. Yeah. There'll be some fire. There'll be some fire and flame. I'm actually looking forward to some of the play. He's got a great sense of humor. And that's how I kind of took it. Like I thought you were sort of suggesting that that it was sort of like a young beard. Yeah. And right. I can't picture it. I think I've seen him shaved and on with beard. I don't know. That's cool. But yeah, so back to I love that playfulness. So when I jumped in with our line of products, it was kind of funny to write it out because even the scripting of it, I was trying to think of like, there's a pitch in this, eh? Between the kombucha and our empathy engines, shack out back. We could, you know, at some point, I'm feeling like, there you go. And me, do you remember back in the day, there was the, I think Pepsi was onto something. It was just, it was really an underdeveloped product line. So I'm doing the kombucha clear. Remember? Pepsi went that route. Yeah. So kombucha clear. So this is actually the low calorie one. Just so you know, this is the low calorie kombucha. None of the flavor of regular kombucha, just as refreshing.
Does it come out of a tap as well?
This is municipally fed, equitably sourced. Your tax dollars produce this kombucha.
Nice. It reminds me of our tagline, Decoded Podcast. It's more than just a podcast. Because really,
we've had several podcasts about nothing.
Can we have Decoded Podcast beard oil as well?
Well, that was the EDU Beardos. That's the whole thing.
So that's what we're going to call the oil, EDU Beardos, that could be our beard line.
I think that's our men's self-care.
Okay.
Because we also would then eventually we're going to have to start talking about the self-help program.
I can only imagine the self-help program with the highest tier is to spend a weekend at the shack out back. Drinking the kombucha, working with the, where are the empathy engines as we meet and talk and offer the care?
I like it.
So is that ultimately what we're aiming for? Is that just, that's still just a piece of the Decoded Podcast, which is more than just a podcast?
I love it. So we're going to have
our own groups, our weekend retreats. Yeah. At the shack out back, drinking the stuff that we made and using the tools to help us connect.
Selling all the free stuff that we own.
Oh, shit. Oh. Sorry, Clark. Does that mean that we can't charge for any of this? The Beardo stuff is all free?
Well, I think that here's the key with this, and I have given this part a lot of thought. The key with this is that there has to be a high impression of value. And the higher impression of value, we can start to introduce the pay what you can model. That's the key, right? Now, we'll have to talk about how we get enough capital in the bank on the front end so that we can afford the luxury of our luscious ways.
See, I think we have a problem now. The problem is that we've got so many great product ideas and our philosophy is to give it away for nothing that we're in a bad space now.
No, I got our way out. Okay, so
sponsorship.
Well, kind of. We can do that. We can sort of build a little bit more like a pyramid style, which is always, you know, one way to go. Pyramid style is that EDU Ponzi. We could sort of like consider... We'll just put that on the bench for a second. Maybe we need a spokesperson. Who's going to be our beards person? We're going to ask Campbell. It's got to be Campbell. We could be you or Campbell.
We're going with Baby Beard for
people love a hero story. They love a hero story.
Fair enough. Fair enough. My ego had the best of me there.
But let's I know. I saw that, and as the words came out of my mouth, I'm like, I've hurt his feelings. But if we can encourage Mr. Campbell.
Okay, listen,
Mr. Campbell, your people contact our people. Encourage him to go full beard.
We need two faces to this way of thinking. I'll tell you why. Andrew has a lot to offer, even with the baby beard. But Andrew can come off really hardcore. So we need someone opposite of Andrew to be able to meet those types of people where they're at. So we need Andrew for one set of people to reach out to, but we need someone softer. So who is the soft side of Decoded Podcast? Who can be the spokesperson who is not talking about drinking your coffee while Rome burns around you?
Okay.
The baby beard. We need a softer touch. Now, Andrew might take offense to that. Andrew, I know that you probably have a softer touch, but that's not what we're getting from you. That's not what we want from you. So, Clough, off the top of your head, who can give us a lighter touch?
But still be a beards person.
Well, does it have to be a male? Like, is that our angle? Are we totally alienating women here?
Well, we're actually keeping a whole lot of people away from this. we spent, let's do this on the off ramp.
The off ramp.
Okay. We'll work it out. We got to have a closed door session, but I agree. I think we need a counterpoint, the balance.
Okay.
And I love that.
So that's it for this week. We're done.
That's it. We're out. That's it. We're out of here.
This was season 2, episode 23 of the Decoded Podcast, which is more than just a podcast. So make sure, I was going to say, make sure you check our Twitter feeds, but they're junk. So listen to the podcast, but then how are you going to listen to the podcast if you've never listened to the podcast before?
Do we have a Decoded Twitter handle?
No. You have the hashtag, which I think every time I put something out there and I don't tag it, I think a little bit of you dies every time I do that, because you're like, dude, the one time you had me rolling on the floor, I tweeted something out. It was maybe one of the Decoded creative stuff that we've put together. And you're like, you just gave that away. You didn't even tag it. I was dying laughing at the way that you perceived that and the way I perceived the way you perceived it.
It is one of those things I'm starting to have in this particular case with the stuff that we're putting together. I think there is strategic value to having, you know, that landing of a hashtag. It's long. I think we've completely flooded it. It used to be Decoded Podcast. Decoded Podcast used to be, it still is, but I think we've kind of squished it out a little bit. I believe about comic books. Because when I went looking for it, it had already been populated with some other tweets. So,
have we taken it over?
Well, I think the number of posts that we now officially have in there, we've pushed the analytics up and we've pushed the analytics in our favor. So,
okay. So we're shutting things down now. We're going to talk a little bit about the softer side of the Decoded Podcast. And hopefully we're on again next weekend. Hopefully.
I think we will be.
Okay.
What's stopping us now?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe okay. This is the conversation to end all conversations. I don't know.
It's powerful stuff. Okay.
Okay. Have a good one.
You too, man.
See ya.